Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We continue a conversation with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House, part five of our seven-part weekly series with him on the Lutheran Confessions, this body of documents that were born in the 16th century but have found their way and proven their usefulness and their integrity and their fidelity to Scripture for centuries now, certainly not left back in history, but carried forward by the children of the Reformation. Two of the probably most influential parts of the Lutheran Confessions, the Small and Large Catechisms of Luther. We're going to be talking about those for the next 40 minutes of Issues, etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us with questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul McCain is publisher and executive director of the editorial department for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Paul, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Okay, so if you open up that smaller of the two and the more familiar of the two, you'll find this little rubric before anything begins that says, as the head of the household should teach it to the children, or something along those lines. Why was the small catechism apparently designed to be used at home?
Luther felt very strongly that in the church, pastors were the ones who held the office of preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God, and in the home, it was the father. And this small catechism is a perfect little book to use in the home, and Luther advocated that it be used at every meal, and that the house father should actually require of everybody in the home that they know these things by heart.
Why was it so important? And if you read Luther on this, he is adamant.
Yeah,
I mean, in an age where we eschew memorization, he's saying this should be memorized word for word, and once you come upon a version of it, stick to it. Don't keep changing the wording around. Why?
He believed that repetition is the mother of learning, and that these things need to be learned by heart, not just in the head, but in the heart. Of course, the way to get it into the heart is to get it into the ear, get it into the mind, and it settles down into the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was passionate about this, and we should say right off the bat that we have to be a little careful in our nomenclature. When Luther uses the word catechism, he's referring chiefly to the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Not necessarily the explanations in his own small catechism, but those three items were the catechism, and those things, Luther said, had to be memorized.
Okay, so the biblical text along with the Apostles' Creed, first learned and then in time, as each is able to, understood. Is that the model here?
Exactly. You know, I have to give credit to Pastor Peter Bender, who years ago at a seminar I attended said something that's always stuck with me. The argument we often face is we cannot teach children words they don't understand. And he said very simply, if that was our attitude, then none of us would ever learn to speak, because the words we learn as we're learning to speak, we don't understand. We just say them, and then we grow into these words. So learning the words is the foundation for understanding what they mean.
You write that you do not believe that there is any single text or event in the 16th century Reformation that could match the small catechism in terms of its impact on the Christian world and the world in general. Why do you say that?
Because it's true. This text is so fundamentally simple and at the same time so profound. It has formed the basis of, if you want to call it this, the textbook for learning the faith, for understanding the faith. More importantly, it has served as the people's Bible, as it's called in the Book of Concord, by the formula of Concord. This little book is a perfect summary of everything the Word of God teaches us. And for nearly 500 years, this has been the core text used throughout the world by Lutheran churches, and interestingly enough, by other Christians as well, who find it a delightful tool and resource for teaching the faith to non-Christians.
Paul, what does it tell you that among the theological descendants, or at least in terms of their genetics or their claimed lineage, the theological descendants of the 16th century Lutheran Reformation, especially here in America, it is rather popular to ignore the catechism, the small catechism, to instruct the young from something other than the catechism, where you could find whole Lutheran congregations where maybe if you go back a generation and a half, you might find some people who recognize the book, but the people sitting in the pews, by and large, have no idea what the catechism is or, sad to say, what's in it.
Well, that's a bad thing. I'm not familiar with congregations in our own church body that have just whole-scale abandoned it. I know they do exist, but I think the more we stick with the catechism, the stronger a church we're going to be, because these are such fundamental texts which help shape our entire understanding of God and His Word, Jesus Christ and the Gospel, and what it is to live together as Christians.
I had some advice from a fellow pastor, a classmate, many years ago, when after we'd both spent a couple of years in the parish, we saw each other again, and he said, I've decided from this point forward in my pastoral career to be a catechism pastor, to concentrate on teaching, preaching, in instilling those things that we find in the catechism and all of the biblical texts that they open to us. And I think if I do that, I'm going to have enough to keep me busy for the rest of my ministry. What do you think of this?
Well, Luther would agree with that. He says over and over in his preface to the Small Catechism that pastors should just continue to teach, 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 and teach. Dr. Robert King, who's one of our synod's vice presidents, is often known as Mr. Catechism because he just loves the Small Catechism, loves to quote from it, and it is such a wonderful tool. Can I tell a story, Todd?
Sure.
We have an inner-city parish right across from us here at Concordia Publishing House, and interestingly enough, the pastor is named Wilkin. And he does nothing but hand out copies of just the Small Catechism itself, the little Enchiridion, as we call it, the most inexpensive copies he can get. And he just walks around the neighborhood. And we have all kinds of people living here, all kinds of ethnic groups now. And he simply hands in the little book and just says, God loves you, and here's what he wants you to know about him, and he wants you in church. And he has had wonderful responses from people who bring no baggage, no bias, no inclination to dislike the catechism just because it's old or just because we've always used it. And time and again, people who know little to nothing about God or the Bible or Jesus Christ find this little catechism so powerful. They say, wow, this really explains the Christian faith. I understand what God wants. I understand what God has given to me and what Jesus means. After reading this catechism, he tells the most wonderful stories about his ministry using just the Small Catechism.
Before we go into this break, we're not only going to be talking about the Small Catechism, which we've done a bit here, but also about what's called the Large Catechism, the Larger Catechism. What's the difference between the two?
The Large Catechism was actually written first, and the Small Catechism came a few months later. Luther's idea was that he would provide the Large Catechism to pastors to help them in their teaching of the Small Catechism, and then the Small Catechism came later.
Okay, so it sounds as though in the midst of all of this, Luther must have noticed some kind of deficiency among the pastors of the church as the gospel was beginning to have a free course again?
I'm laughing because he did. He says here about pastors who are too lazy to teach that if we don't do this, we deserve to be pelted with dung and driven out and baited with dogs. And he really excoriates pastors in the Large Catechism, and he takes out after the lay people in the Small Catechism preface. So he was an equal opportunity law preacher at this point.
So how bad was it that he, I mean, not only that he felt the need to write these two documents for pastors and then for Christians in the home, but that he was willing to use such strong language to encourage it. How bad was it?
Well, let's let Luther explain it. the deplorable, miserable condition that I discovered recently when I, too, was a visitor, has forced and urged me to prepare this catechism. Mercy, dear God, what great misery I beheld. And he says that the people are so ignorant that they live like dumb brutes and irrational hogs. They had a real crisis in fundamental basic knowledge of Christianity.
Can we lay all of this at the doorstep of a church that had failed to instruct not only its priests, then later to be pastors in the Reformation, but in fact the lay people at all?
I think we would love to lay it at the doorstep of the Church of the times, but I believe we have to lay it at the doorstep of the devil, as Luther himself says in the preface to the Large Catechism. He is a master of 1,000 deceptive arts, and he wants nothing more than for people to just quit studying, quit learning, and not care. Ultimately, I think that's the individual who bears the blame here, and the lazy flesh that we deal with every day. And yes, the church in this time did have a method of teaching that was, let's just say, woefully deficient.
So with only 30 seconds here before we take our first break, why is it that in one of the prefaces to one of the catechisms, Luther says, I'm a doctor, a teacher in the church, I remain forever a student of the catechism? Why does he say that?
I'm looking at that quote right now. He simply says, I too must remain this child and pupil of the catechism, because as every other person, Martin Luther daily dealt with the temptation to just be lazy. That's the bottom line, this laziness that we all deal with. We just don't want to read. We don't want to repeat things. We don't want to meditate on things. But Luther says, as we do, God bestows ever new, more light and devoutness.
Pastor Paul McCain is our guest. This is part 5 of our 7-part weekly series with him on the Lutheran Confessions. We're dealing with two of the most important documents in the body of the Lutheran Confessions, the Small and Large Catechisms. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or email us right here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 27th of October. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues, Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues, Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, Issues, Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Cecilia Johnson, Arthur Fabricius, Pastor Kent Schaff, Marilyn Wilbert, Sheila Rinney, Rick Simmons, Donald Schrader, Mark Meyer, and Jen Chang. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
President Bush has signed another pro-life bill into law. Its goal is to reduce the number of babies aborted who have been prenatally diagnosed with conditions like Down syndrome, spina bifida, cystic fibrosis, and dwarfism. For example, 80% of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. Parents who've received a prenatal diagnosis must be given facts regarding the condition of their unborn child, as well as resources available to help them. The new law also applies to children up to 1 year of age. In addition, the bill creates a national registry of families who are willing to adopt children with special needs. I hope this will help reduce the number of abortions of these special children. The statistics are so alarming, something needs to be done.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
We
We're talking about the Lutheran Confessions in particular today with Pastor Paul McCain, the small and large catechisms, that term catechism. Oh, people hear it. They hear about the Catechism of the Catholic Church. They hear about the Lutheran Catechism. It's just a simple word that means teaching, instruction. It means a kind of instruction where there are questions and then there are answers, and that's all you really find in either the small or the large catechism. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Paul, is it just a pedagogical concern, just a concern of ignorance and teaching that grips Luther so much at this time during the Reformation? Does he think that something greater is at stake?
Oh, this was a great crisis in the faith. The point being that there were pastors out there who themselves, in some cases, could not even recite the Apostles' Creed, couldn't recite the Ten Commandments, couldn't even recite the Lord's Prayer, believe it or not, without having a piece of paper in front of them. And then consequently, particularly in the villages, as he says, the little small-town parishes, people just lived in total, complete ignorance, and the pastors just didn't care. And, you know, he asked me before, can we lay this totally at the feet of the Roman Church? The answer is no, but we do have to say, given the theology of the Roman Church, that the chief thing about the Christian life was the sacrifice of the Mass, and receiving the sacrament itself wasn't even a priority. You can see how this developed. If the people just showed up and watched this being performed, that was considered good enough. And so this was a crisis in faith. This was a crisis for the gospel itself.
Do we know how Luther arrived at what we have come to call the six chief parts? That is, you mentioned the first three in the last segment, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and then they're followed by the sacrament of baptism, confession and absolution, sometimes called Office of the Keys, and the Lord's Supper. Why did he arrive at these six, not more, not less, or something else?
Well, simply put, you had, if I could summarize very quickly, you basically had law, gospel, prayer, sacraments. And Luther arrived at this after studying what had been going on during the Middle Ages. There were these elaborate lists of things that people were required to memorize. You know, they were required to memorize Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, and the Creed, where that was required or asked for. But added to that, there were lists of things like the seven spiritual gifts, seven cardinal virtues, seven sacraments, seven words of mercy, eight beatitudes of God, and Luther just cleared all this away in order to focus on these chief parts. And again, for Luther, the core of the catechism remained the commandments, the creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And then he added explanations of baptism, absolution, and the sacrament. The point being, for Luther, these were the essential items people should know in order for them to be able to present themselves for the sacrament of the altar, and frankly, just to be Christians. Now, I should also say, as time went on, he got rid of prayers to Mary and the saints, and instead he provided in place of them his own versions of the very traditional prayers for the beginning and ending of meals, the prayers for the beginning and end of the day, and he added to the catechism a table of duties that people in various stations in life would be able to read Bible verses describing what they're supposed to do. So that was how Luther came up with the six chief parts.
Okay, do the two mirror each other exactly, the small and the large catechism, one briefer, one more complete in its explanation?
Pretty much, and I have to say, the large catechism just gets downright wordy on the Ten Commandments and goes on and on and on. It's absolutely fascinating, but he kind of becomes more brief as he moves along. It's almost as if he ran out of steam a little bit. But the Large Catechism is so wonderful, and he intended this to be what people would move on towards after they had covered the Small Catechism, never abandoning the Small Catechism, but learning more and more and studying. And so the Large Catechism parallels the parts of the Small Catechism. There's just more content. There's more commentary.
So what did he consider essential about the Ten Commandments in particular?
Well, the fact that we should be able to understand and examine ourselves, as St. Paul says, as we present ourselves for Holy Communion, to understand that this is, as one of his catechetical hymns put, and I should talk about that too in a moment, these catechetical hymns, you know, here is a tenfold sure command, and this these commands expose us to the holy, righteous will of God, and we examine ourselves in that mirror, which the law then becomes for us, and realize we indeed are poor, miserable sinners, and we cry out to God for his mercy.
So, in other words, you can't really examine yourself knowledgeably or with proper biblical understanding if you don't know the Ten Commandments.
Well, exactly. And the point is not just being able to repeat the words in a rote fashion, that is, just mindlessly, but understanding the importance of what these words mean, and that's why Luther added his explanations for each commandment.
The creed perhaps might be questionable to some because it's not, strictly speaking, a biblical text. The Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer, the passages regarding baptism, the Lord's Supper, and absolution most certainly are, but the creed is more in the tradition of the church.
Yes, I would say the creed is a summary of the core teachings of the Bible's doctrine. You cover the first article, God, creation, second article, Christ, redemption, third article, Holy Spirit, our sanctification, and it just, the creed covers a waterfront of the most essential basic teachings of the Bible.
And then finally, the Lord's Prayer. There are lots of prayers in the Bible, Paul. Why the Lord's Prayer among all the many?
Well, Luther called this the prayer of prayers. First of all, this is the prayer that our Lord gave us. And it's very interesting. When you look at the Greek language at the point, I believe it's in Matthew, where Christ gives the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't say, when you pray, pray something like this, or here's a good model for you. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. This prayer is given to us to use. And in the small catechism, I was with a men's group a couple weeks ago down in Texas at a retreat. I said, you know, none of us are really that good of Lutherans after all, because if we were, we would be praying the Lord's Prayer, what is it, 8 times a day. Luther said pray it in the morning, pray it before breakfast, after lunch, after dinner, and at the end of the day. And I've never been able to move my family towards that greater frequency of the Lord's Prayer, but we do pray it at the beginning and the ending of every day.
It seems as though through these documents, the large and small catechism, Luther is trying to weave these truths of Scripture into the warp and woof of the home life and of the congregation's life. It's a pretty grand goal. Is that a good summary of it?
Yes, it is. And at the time of the Reformation and well into the next century, all the German church orders with which I'm familiar indicate that periodically throughout the year there were special times of the year when there was a strict focus on sermons delivered, particularly to children in school, on the six chief parts. And that's how the Small Catechism got its start, by the way, through sermon series that Luther preached on the core text, Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer.
So this is catechetical preaching?
Yes.
Was it supposed to be? It sounds as though this definitely wasn't learn it once, and then, of course, everybody, you're responsible to continue study on your own at home.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, for instance, in the latest editions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's hymnals, we put the Small Catechism in the hymnals so people can use it, so congregations can use it, people can use it in their home. It's part and parcel of the Treasury of Daily Prayer, our new prayer resource, and several times in the year there's a focus, particularly during Lent, in the Treasury of Daily Prayer on the Small Catechism. And Luther just believed this is the model, this is the pattern, this is the, as you say, warp and woof of the Christian life.
How was it received when these things were presented at the time of the Reformation?
Overwhelmingly popular. This catechism went into multiple reprints during Luther's life. And in fact, he continued to add a few things here and there to the catechism. He added in the very next year following his publication an exhortation to confession. He added a small order for marriage and baptism. It's debatable whether those should be in the Book of Concord or not. In our edition, they're not, because they were not included in most of the printings of the Book of Concord in 1580. But the catechism's text remained, just the core text remained very intact from the day it was published, you know, up until the Book of Concord was assembled, and has remained intact ever since.
I got to wonder, because we've talked about these various parts of the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord up to this point, and most of them public, more or less official declarations of the confessors, whoever they may be, of their positions on certain issues, especially over and against the errors and abuses of the church at the time. So we've got something like the Augsburg Confession, its apology. We talked about the small called articles, the treatise on the primacy of the Pope. The small and large catechisms are more internal documents. How did they make it into the Book of Concord?
because they were so well recognized and embraced as the core text that the Lutheran Church would use to teach the members of their congregations the Christian faith. And you point out something very important. The Small Catechism is a beautiful statement of faith for any Christian. And in fact, I've bumped into missionaries several times now, and I vividly remember speaking particularly to a missionary in South America and a missionary in the Philippines, you know, almost half a world away from one another, who report the same thing, that they cannot keep copies of the Small Catechism in stock at their mission posts because they're besieged with requests from, get this, Roman Catholic priests doing mission work in the area. They use the Small Catechism to teach the faith to people that they're evangelizing. And it's a, you know, I think a Roman Catholic who reads the Small Catechism would have a very difficult time disagreeing with a single word in it.
Pastor Paul McCain is our guest. We're talking about the Small and Large Catechisms of Martin Luther, part five of our seven-part weekly series on the Lutheran Confessions. Pastor McCain is publisher and executive director of the editorial department at Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. In about 10 minutes, hour two of Issues, etc., we'll be talking with the staff writer for the Los Angeles Times about Robert H. Schuller's decision to remove his son, Robert Schuller, also, from the Hour of Power, this long-running, famous television program. Shane Rosenthal will also join us from the White Horse Inn to talk about it. And then we'll review a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. Stay tuned. Issues, etc., regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the Treasury of Daily Prayer.
All I can say is prepare to be blown away. It's something I've never seen in the whole of Lutheran liturgical history. It's a complete daily office book and so much more, and it's in a single volume.
Order an advance copy of the Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover at our website, issuesetc.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues, etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues, etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, etc. Kent Umbarger, Bill Schott, Pastor Craig Nehring, Dr. Angus Manouge, Pastor Matthew Christians, Charles Kamarack, Kristen Hammond, Marilyn Garbarino, Scott Garbarino, and Pastor Ellen Miller and family. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, October the 27th. We're talking with Pastor Paul McCain, continuing our weekly conversation with him on the Lutheran Confessions today, the Small and Large Catechisms. Paul, before you mentioned something about the Treasury of Daily Prayer and how it is kind of the Small Catechism, at least, is incorporated into this devotional resource, describe the Treasury of Daily Prayer for us.
Yes, Pastor Wheaton's promo said it very well. This is the most comprehensive single-volume resource for a regular, ordered, patterned life of daily prayer that we've ever seen before in the Lutheran Church, frankly, in any language. There have been attempts at something like this before, but nothing this comprehensive. I've been using it since it was released last week, and let me say this, it is very easy to use, and it is a real joy. You basically can follow the ancient pattern of morning and evening prayer, or as many offices of prayer during the day that you'd like to use. And every day you have a nice selection from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. And the whole intention behind this thing is that everything you're doing is an act of prayer. You are meditating prayerfully on the Word of God. You are joining the saints throughout all the ages in these wonderful treasures we have in the forms of Matins and Vespers. And I really can't say enough good about it.
Folks, if you want to find out more about the Treasury of Daily Prayer, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org. You see the cover of the book right there on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Paul, it strikes me that there's kind of a turning point here in the history of the Reformation with the composition and the acceptance of these two documents, the large and small catechisms, that up to this point, the Reformation could have remained on paper only. It certainly didn't, but it could have been just a Reformation of an exchange between principles, between princes, between theologians. But it strikes me that Luther believes that this Reformation must jump off the page and enter into the lives of the people and into the lives of the churches. Your thoughts there?
I agree. I think the small catechism, in many ways, is the finest document that Luther produced. And he himself was rightfully quite proud of it, because it is such a beautifully simple explanation. And the way it's written is just lyrical. It's relatively easy to memorize. Now, you'd get a big argument from some confirmation students about how difficult some of the parts might be, but there's a poetic, rhythmic nature to the way he phrases his explanations, and its simplicity is the genius of the small catechism. And you're right, this takes the Reformation off of a, you know, debating point basis and really puts down the central, the most essential confession of the gospel and how it is that we Christians understand God and his word and understand our life together and everything that Christ means and everything that the gospel means in our lives. The small catechism is such a beautifully simple explanation of the whole thing. That's why the Formula of Concord refers to the small catechism as the lay people's Bible.
Then is this also why, while we still and rightly require that pastors, at least in our tradition of the Lutheran Reformation, to subscribe unconditionally to all the contents of the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord? Of the people, we require simply that they profess and believe and subscribe unconditionally to this theology as they have learned it in Luther's Small Catechism.
Yes, that's very well said, and that's exactly how it is said during our rites of confirmation for adults. You know, do you confess the faith of this church as you have been taught it by Luther's Small Catechism? Now, of course, that's not to say that we don't want and encourage lay people to move on with their understanding and familiarize themselves with the entire Book of Concord to whatever extent possible. But the Small Catechism is the essential document. Luther very plainly says in the Large Catechism that if people can't recite the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed, they should not be coming to the Lord's Supper. They probably shouldn't even be considered Christian. Now, you know, everybody out there in radio land, calm down. I'm not saying that people who are mentally incapable of doing it are not Christians, but, you know, give me a break. If you don't know these things, then get busy. Learn it. These are the essential truths of God's Word.
I was reading recently about the early days of Lutheranism in the United States. Not the earliest, but perhaps stage two. Especially out on the East Coast where the Lutherans first arrived. And there was an attempt in that time to rescind the Augsburg Confession and to rewrite some of the things that were in there that bear directly upon what is taught in the Small Catechism. Although I don't think there was any attempt to rewrite the Small Catechism, probably would have gotten around to it. Sooner or later, why did the faithful then resist this, and why should such attempts to rescind the teachings of the catechism, as simple as they are, why should they be resisted?
If you rescind what the catechism says, you are saying no to the Word of God, plain and simple. Yeah, this was a crazy time in American Lutheranism. You had two very strong competing forces. You had these groups of people who, like you say, really did want to prepare an American version of the Augsburg Confession, which basically gave up all the identifying factors of Lutheranism, most dramatically, perhaps, the Lord's Supper, baptismal regeneration. The Small Catechism is very vividly realistic in how it describes the Lord's Supper and baptism. You know, this is our Lord's body and blood under the bread and wine given to us Christians to eat and drink, instituted by Christ himself. And baptism is what the Scriptures say it is, the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. So if you say no to the catechism, you're saying no to God's word. It's just that simple. And I challenge anybody to sit down with a catechism and the Bible and familiarize themselves with the biblical content and ask yourself, is there anything in this catechism that runs contrary to the Holy Scriptures? They won't find it.
Matt in Seward, Nebraska emails us, does Luther set forth a particular understanding of education in his catechism?
Interesting question. As he says in the catechism itself, the pattern of the catechism is one of question and answer. And in Luther's day, there was a lot of memorization, plain and simple, no doubt about it. It kind of runs contrary to a lot of more modern pedagogical theories that, again, as we said at the beginning, children need to first understand before they can memorize or learn. And their attitude back then was memorize it and then grow into the understanding of it. So I would say this: we talk about classical education. This was it. This was the beginning of the education process, learning the basics.
I had a seminary professor. He's a great man of mutual acquaintance, Jerry Eichmann, who always told us, "You can't understand what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't have memorized, what you don't have committed to memory." It sounds as though that's the principle at work here.
Absolutely, and we have to be very careful to say Luther in no way was advocating, okay, if they can memorize it, that's all that's important. No, memorizing was the first step, and then from there, understanding developed and was built.
What's your favorite part? I mean, it's hard to pick one out, but what's your favorite part of owning the two catechisms?
Yeah, hands down, it's very easy for me, actually. The Apostles' Creed, I just cannot get away from Luther's explanation of the three parts of the Creed. Luther divided the Creed into three parts. Earlier, it had been divided into 12. And I had an interesting experience when I was in Germany last time. Went to the city of Worms, where Luther made his great confession at the Diet of Worms in 1521. There was a church built there in that city. By the way, the city is still very much a Roman Catholic city, but this church was a Lutheran church, and it was destroyed during World War II. And after it was rebuilt, they inscribed literally the words of the explanation of the Apostles' Creed on the walls of the church. And I just found that breathtaking. But it's so beautiful when Luther talks about, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And that's the power of the catechism. It's very personal. It's speaking about what Christ has done for me. He's my Lord. He's redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. And then the third article of the Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just beautiful. And one of the most memorable phrases throughout the catechism we bump into often is Luther says, this is most certainly true. This is most certainly true. This is most certainly true. It's such a beautiful confession of faith.
Pastor Paul McCain is publisher and executive director of the editorial department for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. You can find out more about the Lutheran Confessions on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Paul, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back from this break, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We'll be talking about Robert H. Schuller's decision to remove his son as the public face of the Hour of Power Crystal Cathedral, although I think he remains on staff. Apparently, some kind of a falling out over the various visions of the direction of the ministry. We'll talk with the staff writer of the Los Angeles Times about the story, and then Shane Rosenthal will follow up. He's producer of the national radio program called The White Horse Inn. We'll review a sermon on this Monday, October the 27th, a Reformation sermon, appropriately so, preached by Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, that's coming up in about 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc. This is most certainly true. I was thinking about those words just the other day. I was driving along in this postmodern world where if you say something is true, if you say you have the truth, people look at you as though you're from a different planet. If you say that you're certain of something, in fact, I had someone email me recently and said, there's no greater danger than someone who's certain of what they believe. This was a Christian who emailed me. How can it be that Luther would say, this is most certainly true? when it came to the truths regarding the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper. Well, they're most certainly true because they are truths not born of our wisdom or our conclusions or opinions, but of God's Word. Hour two of Issues, Etc. next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.